Welcome to Live from 495. On this podcast, we interview business owners from the 495 Beltway. We not only learn what they do and how they do it, but we take a dive into how they impact our community. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Live from 495. I'm your host, Ty Jordan, and today I have with me Jamie Eckelsheimer from Middlesex Savings Bank. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Ty. Thank you. So excited to be here this morning.
It's great to have you here. Just so the listeners know who you are, how'd you get started at Middlesex Savings Bank?
Sure. So I am a commercial lender, and I work in the business banking group at Middlesex Savings Bank. And what that means is I help local small business owners grow their business. Typically, business owners will work with me for a few different reasons. They could be frustrated by long selling cycles or slow payments causing cash to be tight. They might be concerned about having to pass up on new business opportunities, or as they grow, they might be experiencing growing pains in the form of, you know, having to reinvest in people or infrastructure or production. I used to just say that I sell money and read tax returns for a living, but that would dry up a conversation pretty fast. Getting started at the bank, I actually followed a former colleague from a past career into commercial lending just about 7 years ago to start my journey with Middlesex Savings. He knew that's what he wanted to do. His dad was a commercial lender. We still work together. I've known him over 10 years at this point. But I had no idea what commercial lending was. And after discovering it, to me, it was like the best kept secret. To back up even before that, I went to school for my bachelor's degree in business management and also in finance. So I knew I wanted to be using those skill sets. But since I was 15, I've been working in all sorts of different customer-facing, customer service positions. And so I knew I wanted to do something where I was, you know, working with people, expressing my personality, getting to know people, forming relationships, but also applying that finance degree that I had. So this is really the best of both worlds. Like, I get to, you know, dive into relationships with different business owners and really get to know the intricacies of their business, and but also help them with the fiduciary side of things.
That's incredible. Like, your experience is so extensive. I had no idea.
I guess so.
I only got a little bit of like a brief, like, surface side, the old LinkedIn peak, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that tells you only so much. But getting to hear it firsthand, you know, from you is it's absolutely incredible.
Something that really blew my mind was talking through financial statements with a business owner that had been in business for 25 years. And yeah, I was in my first year or so at the bank, and talking to them about different data points I was looking for in their statement of cash flows or in their balance sheet. And they're like, can we time out for a second? Can you explain to me what a balance sheet is? And they knew their business. They're very successful, but they, mm-hmm. you know, some people just aren't comfortable talking about the financial aspects or like
sure.
reporting of that. And it was interesting for me to be helping someone twice my age understand what's important to me on a balance sheet from a bank's perspective.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's one way I look at business myself, like, you know, getting to know other business owners. I'm always thinking, like, you know, they've been in the business longer than me. Like, other owners are so much more savvy, and like they've got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, every step of the way, like, they're not missing a beat. And to find out there's these small things that, like, oh, I'm not good at this, and I need this person to do this because I don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, hearing that firsthand, it alleviates a lot of pressure. Be like, oh, thank God. I'm not the only one feeling that. So
don't ask me any IT questions.
But it's all right. You know, it's the people that you encounter throughout the way that help you complete the journey.
Absolutely. It's also just nice that it's very local and homegrown, if you will. Like, I grew up in this area. We've talked about that previously. You know, we grew up two towns apart from each other, what have you. And being able to work in the community that I grew up in and be homegrown, if you will, it's got a more special feeling to just kind of be from this area and be working in the communities that I grew up in and just having that very close to home feel.
Yeah, that's the magic of what I call the 495 Beltway. You know, it's an area that I've known for most of my life, and being able to, you know, dive deep in the community and give so much back it's an honor, you know, at the end of the day, and I love helping people. So
the bank has just over 30 different locations now.
Okay.
And we basically hug the 495 belt.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, that's definitely our bread and butter. Like, that's the areas that we all live, work, and play in. The bank started 185 years ago. The Middlesex Institution for Savings was in Concord, Massachusetts.
No kidding.
I mean, I can't tell you all the stories. I haven't been there since day one.
It's all right.
But we've grown to be one of the largest mutual banks in the nation. Right now, we're the largest mutual bank in Massachusetts. Participate in all these local communities. I mean, we really only work with customers here in mm-hmm. this area. So that local feeling, you know, really resonates with the bank and its mission.
I can definitely tell. I've seen a lot of Middlesex Savings Bank at different events and different fundraisers. I'm like, these guys are everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a pretty cool and proud feeling to work for an organization that has such a focus on the community. We definitely participate in all sorts of events. We have a charitable foundation. We've done all sorts of donating to nonprofits. I mean, in the last couple years, one of our focuses has been to libraries in the 30 or so communities that we're established in, and giving back to first responders like the police and the fire services, mm-hmm. food banks. Yeah, it's just, you know, we find all sorts of different ways. And it's not just financial giving. It's also giving of our time. We participate in a lot of events in the community, and all of the employees get a couple of paid days of volunteer time to choose how we want to allocate that time to whatever's important to us in terms of giving back to the community. And, you know, it's really nice to have that kind of support from somewhere that you work.
It is. It's great. It's tremendous. It means a lot for not just the bank itself, but for everybody that's, you know, employed by the bank, and for them to care so much and be so deeply involved with the community and their employees. It speaks a lot to the business.
And I think that's part of what it means to be a mutual bank too. Like, we don't have shareholders, so we can just really put our customers first. And that's just so much a part of the culture. And, you know, 185 years of that, it's like, you know, we live and breathe it. It's really intertwined and woven into, you know, what it means to be part of Middlesex Savings Bank, whether yeah. working there or being a customer or just being involved in those communities.
Awesome. I love to see roots that are established in longevity as well. And Middlesex Savings Bank has definitely done that. One question I had is, the location you're currently at, was that something that you did by choice, or was it just where you landed?
You mean like my physical office?
Yeah. I know you're in Maynard.
Yes.
So you landed in Maynard. Was that something you chose, or?
You know, it was a magical mix of a few different things. When I started working for the bank as an underwriter, I was working at our corporate headquarters, which is located in Natick.
Okay.
And then an opportunity presented itself to shift into the lending side of things.
There you go.
Just that particular office was in Maynard, and I bought my house in Bolton, and I live a mile from my parents where I grew up in Harvard.
That's awesome.
And so having that, you know, 5 or 6 mile commute is very magical and definitely important to me.
Yeah, it sounds like it was the best fit of the time, because the only reason I ask is because there's a new shiny brand new location in Hudson.
Yes.
And I was like, why didn't you land there?
I have just not enough offices. I mean, actually, I'm in a brand new location in Maynard. We just moved. We were downtown Maynard, and now Maynard Crossing is a whole new development that's, you know, still growing, and there's all sorts of space for lease over there, and it's a really cool development, and there's a market basket and all sorts of other stuff. I digress, but it's a brand new building, and I do have a shiny
awesome.
New office. But I also work, you know, I cover not just Maynard. I work with a whole bunch of different towns, you know, surrounding towns, and Hudson. Lisa Lopes is the branch manager over there. I work with her a ton, and Patty Chambers is the branch manager in Maynard, and I work in all the surrounding towns. But yeah, Hudson's one of our newest branches. Like, we just We just got into Hudson in this past year. Another new location is in Westboro.
Okay.
So we are still growing when it's appropriate and when it makes sense. And we're always looking for new opportunities to get into surrounding towns and just build the brand.
That's great. It seems like it's endless growth, which is also good. As far as events go, does Middlesex Savings Bank have anything in the pipeline, like any hosted event, anything that they want to share with the class?
Something that we look forward to every year that happens usually in the early fall is we do an economic outlook, you know, for like the Massachusetts economy. Sometimes we'll have different panelists speak at it. It's an event we've been hosting for years and years. Several hundred people attend. This year we do know, we haven't finalized all the details of the date or what have you, but we do know that it will be sent out virtually as a webinar this year because the size of it, you know, having several hundred people get together, it's still an interesting time to be planning large events like that.
Yep.
But that's something that our customers definitely look forward to attending, and it's kind of a fun meeting of the minds, if you will.
Yeah, I love events like that. It's great to connect and, you know, see how other people are going through the world, especially in the nature of business. I had an opportunity to learn so much, and, you know, Middlesex Savings Bank is a part of that. One big thing, too, is how the pandemic is affecting you guys. Like, are you guys working remotely?
Oh, boy. The journey over the last year has been interesting in terms of banking. If you haven't heard of, you know, the PPP loans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of when the world shut down last April and May, the bank did not shut down. In fact, it was quite the opposite for especially the folks in commercial lending. I mean, for anyone in the bank, really. But having that PPP program, it was obviously so, so important and impactful to try and help our small business customers. But it was quite a wild ride in the banking world because we were trying to be the gatekeepers, if you will, to facilitate these loans that were designed by the government and facilitated by the SBA. And, you know, even at midnight the night before, we didn't have guidance as to how to embark on bringing this program live to people. And, wow. You know, we had plenty of people asking questions about how this is going to work. And, you know, we were learning everything live and drinking from a fire hose, as was the rest of the nation. And we were, you know, the first round of funding went dried up so quickly in a matter of days. And we were working overnight through the night, entering these loan applications into the SBA's portal. And we were working 7 days a week. So I've never worked that much in my life.
Wow.
And when everyone else was learning new hobbies and, you know, having to take a pause, I remember it was pretty surreal when I got this piece of paper to put in my car, like if I was driving past curfew to go work an overnight or whatever, just to say, like, I'm an essential employee and I'm not just out having fun.
Yeah, no, I had no idea it was that deep. Like, your insight is, it's very valuable. And one thing, too, it adds to everything that I've been hearing. It's like, as soon as it was announced, the floodgates just opened up and people are looking for answers left and right.
Oh.
They're trying to save their businesses and it's just absolute pandemonium.
Yeah, it was stressful, you know, not being an expert in your field. I pride myself in being pretty competent in my work and, you know, facilitating the PPP program. It's like everything was subject to change. I think the program changed, like the rules changed, I don't know, maybe 25 times throughout the life of it, and they're still subject to change.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still just ramping up for forgiveness of the second round of funds and, you know, just having to learn everything in real time and be constantly pivoting was definitely stressful, but so, so worth it. I mean, having these conversations with customers that, you know, might not have made it through the pandemic and, you know, are still facing challenges. It was worth that amount of stress to know that this was the right thing to do to help our customers and how important and impactful it was. Made it all okay.
Yeah. You know, the end of the day, you made it to the other side. And, you know, that nothing is more admirable than being able to help people and, like, come out of that, you know, slightly unscathed. That's very good. So what are some of the current challenges that you guys are facing with the bank nowadays?
I think like with everyone else, it's a balance of, you know, do you bring people back to work full time? I think senior management is working through all those details in terms of whether or not we'll have some sort of permanent remote option in place. I mean, banking is a very personal thing. So, you know, the branches can't be remote. I mean, there's online banking, of course, and there's all sorts of different types of electronic banking these days. But the personal touch of being able to answer questions about money and can be so stressful for people to have those relationships and personal conversations to instead of just having them do everything through online banking is still so important, even in a world where everything is becoming more and more electronic or remote. I think it's just not feasible to really have a relationship with a bank that's only online. You know? No,
yeah, I completely agree with you. And I feel that interpersonal connection, whether you're more modern and you prefer that virtual remote or you're that person that comes to the bank and still only uses checks and doesn't even have a debit card, if you're that person, like from that person to the other side, like from one extreme to the next, it's important to have that interpersonal connection, like to have someone be able to answer your question right away instead of you waiting for like a virtual teller or a virtual administrator or manager to come to you, like stand in the bank, talk to somebody. Like,
absolutely.
You know, that to me, it's part of like, just be a human. Like the human experience is what's important. And you can't lose that element in a bank.
Oh, for sure. In commercial lending, I mean, just having those in-person conversations, you know, when we're working with customers, we'll often do a site visit and kind of touch and feel their business, like see everything in production. And the stories that come out of that are just invaluable. Like that relationship building is, you know, really where the magic happens. And you can just kind of learn more than you ever would be able to just from getting a loan application. I mean, that's part of what's important in our job is knowing our customers and knowing that everyone's business is a little bit different than everyone else's. And that's what really keeps this interesting work for me because it's always something slightly different. So it's brand new every day.
Yeah. The fact that you guys hold that human physical presence in such high esteem, how can I open an account today?
Well, I can introduce you to any of our local branches.
Because to me, that it speaks volumes to the nature of how much you guys care about nurturing relationships as well as getting them.
Absolutely.
Any pro tips, advice, or suggestions to put out there? This is the part where I usually quote Socrates, and I say a little speech from his Days of Victory in Rome. Or you can hit me with anything that you have. Anything you've learned throughout the way?
I think it's just about being comfortable having a conversation. I mean, if you're a business owner that's looking to grow or maybe looking to reinvest in your company or looking to maybe make your first purchase of a commercial real estate building, just start that conversation with your lender. I mean, it's never too soon, I think, to start those conversations. And the sooner that you can start that conversation, the better you can kind of plan out how to go about doing that. Because I think sometimes people are a little bit bewildered by, you know, how's the bank going to view this idea I have? And we have those conversations all day long. So we're very comfortable opening those doors and taking a peek and exploring those ideas. So if you're kind of rolling something around in your head, don't be afraid to like pick up the phone.
I love it. That's perfect. And Jamie, what's one way for listeners to get a hold of you if they're interested in banking or if they need more information about commercial lending?
Yeah, I mean, feel free to go on our website.
Okay.
It's middlesexbank.com.
Okay.
Or I'm also on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn too.
Perfect. I'm usually an email guy myself these days because my phone gets flooded with calls. So I completely understand. Like as many barriers as it takes to, you know, for communication. But it's been absolutely fantastic to have you here today. And I know our listeners are going to be extremely excited to hear some of the information that you provided. I was just sitting here and like, I didn't want the show to stop. I just wanted to keep going and just getting as much information as possible, because this is an opportunity to really take a deep dive into things that questions that I've been asked myself. And so this is going to be extremely valuable going along the way. And it's one of the best podcast shows I've had.
Thank you so much. Get out of here. That's so nice of you.
Thank you for being here. And thank you for being a part of Live from 495.
No, thank you for the opportunity. This has been great. I had a fun.
Yeah, it's great. And I look forward to seeing you again for another episode. All right.
Thank you for listening to Live from 495. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And don't forget to check out some other great episodes.